Morning. It's good to see each and every one of you as we come together to worship God, to honor His Son, and to respect what the Holy Spirit reveals in His Word. If you're visiting with us, like I said, we are happy that you have come our way. We invite you to stay after for a few moments, not only for the picture, for the members, but for the visitors, so we can get a chance to know you a little bit better. If there's something we can do for you, feel free to let us know. Can you imagine living in a place where everyone but you spoke the same language? Can you imagine how isolated you would feel in that situation? Well, it happened in the life of a man by the name of Muharram. He's a deaf man in Istanbul, and while he could sign and his sister could sign, no one else in the town had that ability. And so every day he would try to communicate with them as best as he could. But then Samsung Corporation came along, and Samsung was wanting to introduce a new product in their customer service department that would enable people that were deaf to be able to interact with someone who could be able to help them with their needs. And so what Samsung Corporation did was they went to this town without Muharram knowing, and they got about 30 people that knew him, that came in contact with him, and they taught them sign in private. So one day, Muharram goes out with his sister on a walk, and a lady will bump into him, and she'll say, "I'm sorry," in sign. And it kind of caught him off guard. And then it would go down a little bit farther, and there would be someone who would say, you know, "Good day," in sign. Again, it caught him unaware, and someone offered him some fruit, and they did it in sign. He gets into a cab with his sister, and when it usually is his sister that communicates to the driver where they were going to go, the driver turns to Muharram in the front seat and signs to him, "Where are you going today?" All of these things were there to promote what would be a valuable asset to that community and to people that were deaf and unable to hear. But more than that, what it did for this individual, for this man, is it gave him the best gift he could have ever received, and that is the ability to communicate and to relate with other people. Go online and find the video, because they follow him along with secret cameras. And it's truly amazing to see his reaction and all the love that was shown him. What he recognized that day, and what we are trying to recognize on the fourth Sunday of every month, or last Sunday of every month, is how important relationships are. That we need relationships. We've been looking at, as our theme passage for the year, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 12, this is in the New Living Translation, it says that two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together, they can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for the triple braided cord is not easily broken. We have noticed, we've gone through this year so far, that God has created us to be relational beings because God is a relational God. We are created for community. And so our goal, what we're doing this year, is we're talking about certain subjects. We're going to talk about how do we build better relationships with our brethren? How do we build better relationships with those that are lost in the world? How do we build better relationships with our spouse and with our family and with our friends. But where we have started and where we will conclude today is, how do we build a better relationship with God? What does that look like? And what we saw in January is that building a better relationship with God means that I build a greater trust in Him, that I rely on Him more and more in my life. Last month we talked about drawing near to God, James chapter 4 and verse 8, and He will draw near to you, an intentional faith to make choices in our life every day, small choices that will help us to build that relationship. And today we're going to talk about developing a grateful heart. The song that we just sang came from this passage in Psalm 136 and a verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. The idea of gratitude is a simple concept, and yet it's a very challenging concept. But it's very easy for us to go on every day in our lives and not stop and reflect upon what we have and what we have been given by God. And when we do that, we rob ourselves of one of the greatest spiritual gifts that we can have. If you would look over at Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 15, Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 15, we'll read verse 15 through verse 17. I want you to listen what the Apostle Paul says, and remember that when Paul is writing these words, he himself is in a situation that is very challenging. He is imprisoned in Rome. And this is what he says to the brethren, his desire for them. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In this passage, we've read this before, you notice the three words that make an appearance in every verse? In verse 15, he says, let the peace of God, or Christ, rule in your hearts, to which you are called, and be what? Thankful. See, living with thanksgiving brings a peace to our lives. But he doesn't stop there. Living with thanksgiving or gratitude, it magnifies the message of Christ. Notice verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with what? Thankfulness. As Christians, when we live a life of gratitude, we are communicating to those that are around us where our focus is. And then in verse 17, that when we live daily with gratitude, it keeps our eyes focused on Christ. Usually we look at verse 17, we focus on the fact that whatever we do in authority. But he says, and you give thanks. You give thanks. Keep your eyes focused on God, His sovereignty, His authority. See, gratitude, one person says, makes you a better, stronger, wiser person. Ingratitude makes you negative, angry, and miserable. The question is, what do you choose to be? Because we all have a choice. There are events that come in our lives that are beyond our control. There are things that are unexpected, both good and bad. But how we respond is what we get to control. It's what we get to decide. And what I would suggest this morning is that we decide to respond with gratefulness. I want to give you five things that we can be grateful to God for that will inevitably build our relationship with Him. If you can be grateful about these things, you will find yourself closer to God. Number one is this: be grateful to God for the past and for the present. In Psalm 111 and verse 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." I want you to think back to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and its purpose. If you remember, God had promised Abram a land for his people, but they would be in slavery for a period of time, 430 years, and then he would bring them out and deliver them into this promised land. But as you know, in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, Israel rebels against God's leadership. They rebel against God's provision, and they say, "No, we can't go into the land. That's not for us." And so God makes the people wander for 40 years in the wilderness. When we come to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is now the people are approaching the land of promise again. And one generation, 20 years old and upwards, had passed away with the exception of two, Joshua and Caleb and Moses, but he's going to pass away soon. And so here they are, they're coming up to the land, and now they're going to occupy this promised land. But they're going to be without Moses, the one that had physically led them for 40 years. They're going to be without his presence. They're going to be without his leadership. What words could he leave with them to impress them? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, we see what the message of Deuteronomy is. This is a book of remembrance. "Take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." It says, "Take care lest you forget." God tells Moses at the end of the book in Deuteronomy 31 to write a song and to teach it to the people. In chapter 32, you have the song of Moses. And what he talks about in the first few verses is the character of God. But then he also talks about the kindness of God. That God took this rebellious people, this people that struggled with unbelief, and he took them, and even though they had those problems, those issues, he still provided for them and presented them into a land. God is kind. What's God done in your life in the past that you can be grateful for? But not only are we to be grateful for the past, but we're to be grateful for the present. In Philippians chapter 1, which is another one of the prison epistles of Paul, similar to Colossians, in prison, in chapter 1, he talks about the fact that why he is there is actually good. Because it's built the confidence in brethren that for them to go out and teach. And he's had an opportunity that he would never have had outside of being in prison, and that he's able to teach the guards. He's able to influence those that are in Caesar's household. He's able to do all of this. He was thankful. Maybe you've heard, if you're older, the name Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom wrote the book, The Hiding Place, based on her life. She was a Dutch Christian, and growing up, her family would hide the Jews that needed shelter from the Nazi persecution. Eventually, they were found out. And Corrie and her sister, Betsy, were sent to a concentration camp. And that concentration camp was overcrowded, flea-infested, and yet there was something remarkable that happened. They were able to get a Bible smuggled into camp and have Bible studies with the women of their barracks. In that process, Betsy read that in everything they were to give thanks to God. And she believed that meant giving thanks for things such as the fleas. And Corrie is like, "You know, that's just ridiculous. That's just too much. I don't get that." But her sister Betsy insisted, hey, pray God, thank God for the fleas. And over the next several months, something happened that was wonderful, that was curious. They found that the guards never entered their barrack. That allowed them to escape persecution because the guards would take advantage of the women, assault the women. But it would allow them to have these open Bible studies and these prayer meetings in the midst of a concentration camp. Why? Because the guards didn't want to go in to a place that was flea infested. Can you imagine how hard in the midst of that situation to thank God for something like the fleas? And yet it provided them opportunity. We can thank God for the past. We thank God for the present. We can also thank God for the monumental. That's one of the things that we like to do. In Exodus chapter 15, another song of Moses, after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea by the power of God. In chapter 15, Moses sings this song, and he talks about how God has defeated Pharaoh and his armies with this miraculous event of the water that parted, allowed Israel to cross, and then to come back together to destroy Pharaoh's army. That was a big event. Moses says, be thankful in that. We can be thankful for the past. We can be thankful for the present. Be thankful for the monumental. How about being thankful for the minuscule? Every day, on average, you take 23,000 breaths. You do it without even thinking about it. But it's such a complex process of inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. We tend to thank God for the big things, and that's fine. For the things that take our breath away, you stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Most of you might stand in awe of that. I stand in fear of that. But you stand in awe like, isn't God great? But what about for the small things that don't take our breath away? Just our breath. To be thankful to God. We can be thankful for God for the past, the present, the monumental, the minuscule. We can also be thankful to God for the possible. The future is unknown. The future is uncertain. Because of that, the future is unsettling. Having an attitude of gratitude might seem like it's strange when we don't know what's going to happen, to thank God and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I still praise you. But God is powerful and God is all-knowing what's going to happen. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, for a moment. And I want you to think about this in a way maybe we haven't considered before. Mary, who is newly pregnant. Mary, who is not married. She would be by the end of her pregnancy. Mary, who is pregnant and not married and is known to be pregnant. Not something you can really hide. What we find in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 is that she was found with child. And Joseph, who was unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. And he would not know her until she had given birth to a son, after an angel told him to keep her and to marry her. That puts Mary in a difficult situation. She could have been in shame. If Joseph had put her away, she would have been ashamed. People would have looked down on her. She could have been shunned by her family. She could have even been sentenced to death. But what's her response? Look at Luke chapter 1. And in verse 46, Mary sings a song. And in verse 46 and verse 48, what we find is that she says, the Lord is mindful. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on his humble servant, the esteem of his humble servant. Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She's looking at the future, and there's a lot of question marks there for her. And what she says is, he's mighty and he takes care of me. In verse 51, he has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their heart. Verse 52, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of the humble estate. God is not only the one who is mindful of me, he is mighty. And then in verse 50, and his mercy is for those that fear him, for generation to generation. Verse 53 through 55, he has filled the hungry with good things, the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. What Mary does is she says, God knows where I'm at. God knows my problems. I don't know the end, but God knows where I'm at. And God, because he's mighty, he's able to do something about it. And because he loves me, he's merciful to me. I want you to think about this. As you face the possibilities of tomorrow and next week and next year, and there's big question marks about your future, know God's mindful of you. I lift up my eyes to the hill, Psalm 121, from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Know that God is mighty to save. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Know that the Lord is merciful. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful to me. O God, be merciful to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. We can be thankful for the things that happened in our past. We can be thankful for things that happened in our present. We can even be thankful for things that we don't know yet, but are in God's control. I think we can also be thankful in the pain. I think it's these times that we need to be sensitive. We need to be thankful, or realize we can be grateful in a way that might be counter to what we would naturally do. What we're talking about is grief. When we talk about grief, grief is loss. I don't care what it is that you've lost. Ultimately, we go to the furthest extension and we look at grief, a loss of a loved one, and that's probably the most challenging, but any kind of loss in life is grief. And when we grieve, there's a place for gratitude. Job says in chapter 1, verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Probably the hardest thing we can do is when we're grieving some loss, to be grateful. We might ask, is that possible? To be grateful. I think we need to realize just a couple things about gratitude. Gratitude is not happiness. It's hard to be happy when you've lost something. Whether it be job or problem with finances, lose a spouse due to a troubled marriage, lose a spouse or a loved one to death, you're not going to be happy. Gratitude is not tearlessness. We can still cry and be gracious. Gratefulness takes energy, takes effort. It doesn't happen naturally. But God has given us some joys, some things that we can latch onto in our pain and our anxiety, the joys of memories, the joys of traditions. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 21 through 23, he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come. What do these stones mean? He says, then you're going to tell them that this is where God parted the water so you can pass over the Jordan, just like God did with the Red Sea. You're going to tell them. Share the memory. Share the joy of that. We've all suffered loss this year in one way or the other. There's been a few people that have touched my life in one way or the other that passed away this year. There's a gentleman, his name was Noel, and he passed away this year from complications due to COVID. Noel was a Korean veteran. So it tells you his age. He was up there in age. He always had a smile on his face. He is always a joy when he comes into worship. One of the things that really I loved about Noel was his love for truth. Noel would come to my Monday morning Bible class at 6 a.m., maybe even earlier than that, with some guys that were in their 20s and 30s. And he would get up every week and he'd show up. And we would talk about God's word. Him and his wife, Mary Ellen, they were living part-time in Fresno and then part-time in Quartzsite, Arizona, kind of a retirement community. And they had a radio station there. And Noel, he had a Bible program on the radio. He just loved to teach about God's word. There's a gentleman who was such an encouragement to me in my time that I knew him. His name's Dennis. He just passed away a couple weeks ago. Tremendous man. His father and mother also passed away this year. His father is a longtime preacher of the gospel in Southern California. Amazing man. One of the things that he did when I moved away, he's like, here's a box of books. He says, I don't know if you can use them. I don't know if you have them, but just take these. These are from my dad's library. I'm like, wow, thank you. Appreciate that very much. I found myself thinking about those gentlemen and thinking about other people that have touched my life. Whenever we grieve, we can take gratitude in the memories and the traditions that we have, but also we can be grateful because God draws through great gratitude our eyes away from the pain and focuses them on Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when we talk about death, he said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers. And he describes how Jesus is going to come. And he says, comfort one another with these things at the end of chapter 4. We can be grateful in the pain. I think we also move on, be grateful for people and to people. You ever notice how the beginning of a lot of the epistles by the Apostle Paul, he makes a statement of his gratitude for the people, and it's typically in a prayer? Romans 1, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. 1 Corinthians 1, I give my thanks to God always for you. Ephesians 1, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and love, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Philippians 1, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Colossians 1, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Philemon 1, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Do you think Paul's just saying words? Do you think he's just really just being wordy, and he's just adding to give length to his letters because, you know, he has to fill so many words per letter, and so he's throwing a bunch. No, Paul's sincere. He says, I thank God for you. What that does is not only builds up the relationship between Paul and the people, it builds a relationship between Paul and his God, because who's he thanking for? Who's brought those people into his life? It's God. We can express gratitude to God for people, and we can express gratitude for God to people. Do you praise God to people? When you're with other people, do you praise God? You know, we talk about the things that we value. We talk about the things that we enjoy. We talk about the things that are important. What's it do when we praise God in front of others? Well, someone says, wait a second. Jesus says, don't pray to be seen of men. We're not talking about to be seen of men. Legitimately praising God. It's a way to open the door to talk to people about God. We could be grateful for the past, the present, the possible, be grateful in pain. We could be grateful for people and to people. And then lastly, be grateful for the promise. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, it says we have a living hope. You know, time destroys most hopes. There was a time where I had certain things in my mind that I hope to accomplish. You know? I hope to own a Corvette one day. I saw one of the new ones yesterday. I was like, oh. But as I get older, guess what? That hope doesn't matter anymore. It's faded away. What am I going to do with that? Just drive around, top down, wind through my kind of hair? It goes away. That's the way it is in life. But the thing that Peter talks about is a hope that never goes away. In fact, it does the reverse of what most hopes do, and that is the older we get, the more we long for it, don't we? The stronger it is. In verse 4, this hope of that we have is imperishable. There's nothing that can ruin it. It's undefiled. There's nothing that can cheapen it. It's unfading. There's nothing about it that can disappoint. And I like what Peter says is that this hope is reserved. It's reserved. It's there. It's got your name on it if you're God's child. It is ready for you. It's not going anywhere unless you go somewhere. It's there. That's why Paul says, we groan in this tent. We long to put it off for something better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to have a closer relationship with God, learn to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my past. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, when it's hard to say thank you. Thank you for the people in my life. Thank you for the promises that you've made. How do we put that into practice? You know, gratitude is something that we train ourselves to do. It has been determined that by setting 5 minutes aside every day, by listing 3 things you can be grateful for. Every day, take 5 minutes, write down 3 things that you can be grateful for. Here's the thing, be specific. Be specific. Don't say, God, thank you for the sky. Well, you could say that if you really mean it, but be specific. Be honest. Be permanent. Write it down. And be public. Say it out loud. God, I thank you for brother or sister so-and-so. God, thank you for my job that I've been given. Because it's tough times. God, thank you for filling the blanks. And you know what they have found? Is that people who practice this, even those that stop after 1 week, if you do it just for 1 week, it can still change you. Those people were more happy and less depressed and less anxious. They might not acknowledge why. I'll acknowledge why. It's because we're thankful to God. And that builds a stronger relationship. That's why it changes my anxiety. That's why it changes my stress. Because now I'm resting myself solely in the hands of the one who has control over everything. And I thank him dearly with all that I have. Thank you for listening today, being attentive. Thank you for being here. You'd be lonely if you weren't here today. Thank you for your encouragement to me. And being here for, how many months has it been now? Last August to now? 8 months? You have been such an encouragement. I'm excited to see things starting to get back to normal. I'm thankful for the opportunity, as things get back to normal, to do more of the Lord's work here in this community with you, hand in hand, sharing the gospel of Jesus with those that need it most. But maybe you need it today. Maybe you need to hear that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And his blood that was shed on the cross is the only way, as Lee was talking about, that you can be reconciled, that you can be made just before God. If you're not a Christian this morning and need to become one, realize he is the only way. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because his is the only name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. His is the only one. So if you need to respond to the gospel call this morning, become a child of God through the waters of baptism, why not make that known? Maybe you are a Christian and you've been struggling in your life. If it's sin, take that sin, go to God and ask for his forgiveness. If you need encouragement, we stand ready and willing to encourage you. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. Whatever your need is this morning, why not come forward while we stand and sing this song, right?